Warning, the Chit Show podcast may contain explicit or vulgar material that might not be suitable for work, people with thin skin, or those under the age of 18. You have been warned. Thank you for listening, and welcome to the Chit Show.
All right. Yeah. May's almost over.
Thank you.
Why not, man?
I got shit to do in June.
Wait, what's that?
I got shit to do in June. Let May end.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, fuck yeah.
The sun is gone. It's Sunday. Vibes.
Happy Sunday, happy Monday, happy new week to the very few listeners we got out there, but whatevs, for sanity, right? Wait, right? It's for our sanity?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, hello, hello, welcome to another episode of the Chit Show Podcast. I believe this is episode 34. We're trucking along, trucking along. Bum, 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 bum. Thank you for tuning in and listening. This is the Chit Show Podcast with me, your boy, your host, the man, the myth, the legend, DJ Brute, a.k.a. Leo, a.k.a. the obnoxious motherfucker you're listening to on your earwaves right now, whether on Spotify or Apple or Google or wherever the fuck you listen to my crappy little podcast. Ah, and of course I am joined by my co-host, best friend, and younger brother, and president of the We're Working On It Network, Danny Cardona.
Hello, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh yeah, for all the people listening to this on the commute to work and whatnot.
I hope that venti coffee's treating you well that you picked up.
I also hope that they got your breakfast order right, because I have been in a position where, like, order a burrito, get it, you know, on my way to work, just want to get going, get like 5 to 10 minutes away from where the fuck I was just got the food from, and they got my order wrong. And then at that point, it's like, you got to eat it.
They never have sausage and cheddar, and I'm ticked off about it. They never have my sandwich ready to go.
And I will laugh that, like, one time I got a burrito with carne asada in it, and it came with no carne asada.
What?
And I was like, that's like the main part of the burrito. How are you going to fucking forget that? Jeez. I guess, anyways, I'm just being a fucking grumpy Gus right now about breakfast burritos. Apparently, I'm still peeved. Fuckers. Anyways, welcome to the show, guys. This is episode 34. Yeah, we're just going to get right into it. I got to ask. Danny, how are you doing? How was your week?
It's been pretty eventful, honestly.
Yeah?
It's been great. I might mention a little bit of it later.
Okay.
During gaming and stuff. But just to piggyback off of, I'm just ticked off because now I have a story about breakfast. I want to piggyback off of breakfast.
Okay.
Because McDonald's has stopped doing, well, I guess our locations have stopped doing all day breakfast.
Ooh.
And it's a goddamn travesty. So I get to McDonald's at like 10:40 on my way to work, and I get two sausage egg McMuffins. And the fuckers don't even have it because they don't do breakfast all day anymore.
Wow.
And I was very sad. And then I ordered it again, and they didn't even put egg on in my sausage McMuffin.
Wag. Damn.
But other than that, it's been solid. It's been a solid week, honestly. Can't complain.
Way to go, Antelope Valley. Well, at least Lancaster area McDonald's. You guys are dropping the ball. And I'm sure
by the car wash.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be reflected in your sales, dicks.
That's okay. You know, $4 anymore.
You know, Wendy's has breakfast now.
I do. I had one of their items. It wasn't very good.
Which one was it? Was it the breakfast baconator?
It was the breakfast baconator. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one was okay, except they like put this cheese sauce shit on it or something, and then of course they slop it on there. I had this maple bacon chicken thing That was disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah, they really like drop the ball. If you're going to get a breakfast burger, and this goes out to everybody, don't go and get the Wendy's Baconator.
Don't do it.
You get the Carl's Jr. breakfast burger, dog.
That shit is
bomb.
That
thing is delicious. And the ketchup they put on it is different. And I can't put my finger on why it's.
Yeah, starting the show with some fast food talk.
Fat people talk.
Fuck you, Wendy's.
Fuck you.
Motherfuckers can't do sandwiches right. But anyways, moving on. So you're, I mean, aside from being bitter about breakfast not being done properly out here, you're all right? Everything's good though?
Smooth sailing? It was honestly a solid week. It was a big week for me in collecting.
Okay.
A big week. And nice. I'm super happy to be like expanding those collections, which I will definitely talk about later. But oh my God.
Sweet.
It's been great.
Another deep dive into Danny's very wide selection and variety of old school and retro gaming. Well, so we'll get into that later. Well, right on. I mean,
what about you, man?
I was about to say, are you going to ask me how I'm doing? Gosh. No, I'm fantastic. Great. Boring week. For those of you who don't know, I am still completely out of work. Of course, I work in the entertainment industry, so surprise, surprise. Yeah. But yeah, just been doing the damn thing, doing what little yard work I have from a buddy, just trying to keep myself entertained. Took a trip out to Hesperia for about 24 hours or less than 24 hours, just to see a buddy of mine. Shouts out to Nate. Not our brother. This is our adopted brother. One of my best friends lives out there with his wife. They were able to help me out with a loan, and they got a mechanic out there. So I took my car out there, got it serviced, and so I'm ready to go. Once the work kicks back in, I am in the car and off and gone. Yeah, I needed to get the brakes and the oil changed on my car, so we got that done. And just kicked it, got out of the house, hung out with him. Of course, he's been in quarantine as well. He is a stay-at-home husband, taking care of the house and shit, while his wife, she works as a nurse. So shouts out to her. One of those essential workers. But yeah, they're good, clean, quarantine, all that stuff. So I went out there, hung out for a little bit, spent the night, and then head back home. But that was basically it. Other than that, I've just been gaming a lot. A lot of gaming this week. I guess you could talk about that a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Just jumping into a bunch of old school games. But other than that, I'm great. I'm great, man. I'm okay. Doing the best that I can with the situation I'm in life. Yay. Oh, yeah.
That's all it is. Pushing and chugging and going through the motion.
Yeah, man. So, but yeah, that's me. But yeah, moving on. We're gonna jump into this shit. It was a very interesting week, in pop culture and what's trending and whatnot. Some beefs, some feuds, a lot of other craziness going on. Where to start? Well, first off, I want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody, and a shout out to all of the amazing people that have served in our military. Whether still here or not, we just want to say thank you. Just so you know, that's the Memorial Day is celebrated on the last Monday of May, and we commemorate and honor the people of the U.S. military. Originally, it was known as Decoration Day, and it originated in the years following the Civil War, and now it's an official. It's been an official holiday since 1971, and we celebrate it. This is like, I feel like this is the holiday where everyone's like, hit the lake and barbecue. That's like the hit the lake and barbecue freaking holiday. Some could say, oh no, that's the 4th of July. No, 4th of July is barbecue and blow shit up. But like, hit the lake barbecue, or just like hit the park or something, that's the Memorial Day. That's a Memorial Day thing. So yeah, people were out this weekend, of course. And I mean, we have had some things lifted. Things are a little more lax. Of course, everybody is predicting it's going to get worse and we're going to hit a second wave with the COVID thing. And we're basically, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, but we don't know. So we'll see. People have been going out more. The beaches are now open a little bit more, except for, I believe, just like casual hanging. I don't think you're like really allowed to go like just kick it on the beach. I think you can like work out and stuff like that and like go surfing and shit, but like just like casual loitering on the beach and just sitting around and hanging out and doing what people used to do. I don't think that's being allowed right now. I don't remember. But
it's kind of weird because this shit like is all over the place. There's a lot of gray areas now instead of like, no, you can't do this. It's just gray. Like, we don't know. I don't know. I don't think the orders were made clear enough. Uh-huh. And people are starting to do more stuff because they're assuming everything is opening again or whatever. But it's just confusing right now. We're in a weird limbo. I don't know.
I feel like it's a big social experiment. Like, they're just like, you know what? Just let's open it up a little bit. Let's let these idiots get out there, make the mistakes. When shit starts hitting the fan, let's make an example of them then. But I don't know. I would assume that's not the plan, because that's, you know, it's just sloppy. But who knows?
If I were government like that, I would probably do some petty shit like that, though. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, let them do whatever they want. Let them learn.
I know in Hesperia, things felt very, very lax. And even Nate was saying that it's been that way. Like, it's been fairly lax. The cops haven't really been enforcing a lot of the mandates and whatnot, like people having to wear masks. Like, people have been out, we're out there just not wearing masks, not giving a fuck. Like, nobody really cared. Everyone was very relaxed and just kind of whatever. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I do know that people who are not going to be getting their way and not going to be doing things are the churches. That was in the news a lot over the past week, I believe, at least over this weekend. With the Trump administration basically saying California should open up churches and let churches do their thing. And I guess there was a San Diego County churches have filed an emergency motion to permit in-person religious services. And a federal court of appeals upheld Governor Gavin Newsom's ban on in-person church services. There was a split decision issued this past Friday. A 3-judge panel denied a San Diego County church's emergency motion to permit in-person religious services while its lawsuit against the state and county is pending. The judges released their order as communities across the country are beginning to reopen their economies following a more than 2-month shutdown. This is per the Desert Sun. So, yeah. I'm down for this, of course. And I just want to say it's been a pretty wild to see people not being able to gauge or understand what an essential service is. Like, I've seen some memes where people are like, oh, well, it's okay for people to go to the grocery store, but it's not okay for graduates to have their graduation. Yeah. Graduation, like I saw another meme that was hilarious where it was just like, okay, you're sad that you're missing graduation. Cool. It's like, what was it like? Wear a shower curtain around you, sit in the sun for 3 hours, and have somebody read out of a phone book. There's graduation. Yeah. And it's not an essential thing, guys. It's, you can still graduate and get your diploma. That just hand it to you. They can just hand it to you. You know, it just doesn't need to be a big unnecessary, because really, graduations are a big unnecessary event. Really, if the thing is the award, it's what you're getting. So as long as you can still get it, who fucking cares? Same thing with church. Y'all can pray. You can do your worshiping. You can talk to Jesus at home or wherever. You don't need to be gathered in a public place to do that. Your rights are not being infringed upon again. And also, in the Bible, I'm pretty sure it doesn't say that you have to go to church to be able to give it up to God. So, guys, do that thing in your house. Like, whatever. Or you want, if you really need to be with other people while you worship, that invite them over or go over to their place. It's not that big of a deal. People are freaking out because they can't go do the dirty with God in his house. It is what it is, guys. Just keep holding out. Keep wearing your masks. If not, whatever. You dumb. And good luck. We'll see how this goes. I keep wanting to have faith that we're so close to opening up a little bit more, but I'm just waiting for that one little big damning report to come through where it's like, well, we were right, everybody. It got worse. Y'all fucked. You're in till October. We'll see. But yeah, people were talking about that, but the a lot of things. Okay, Tekashi69 stayed up in the news. He's flailing for attention, of course. He obviously is having a very, very rough time on house arrest. From what I've heard, he had to move places twice, from what I hear. Allegedly, he's had to move two different times to a different house on his house arrest. He keeps getting found. The first time, the address got posted because somebody saw him making a video on his balcony. I mean, you can't not see him. It's pretty easy. Someone spotted him and then I think posted like an Instagram post like, oh, hey, it's Tekashi69 on his balcony. So he had to be moved. And then another video popped up of some people driving. I think he had a house in the Hamptons and some dudes were driving by and they saw him. We're like, oh, that's Tekashi69's house right there. So he had to move again. And now he is at odds with Billboard, claiming that Billboard has been manipulating the numbers and allowing people basically to buy their place on the charts, which a lot would probably agree with you. I mean, there's ways, but he basically kind of and has since said that he wasn't coming personally or directly at Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber because they came out with a song called Stuck With You that hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Tekashi was not able to grab that spot. He came in at number three. Doja Cat and Nicki's remix came in at two. And he did not like that. He claimed that supposedly there were 60,000 copies bought in an hour with six credit cards. Supposedly as well, that is not true, that it's impossible that a person can only buy max four copies with one credit card, and basically put out there like, that ain't it. Like, our fans bought the music. This not some conspiracy. That's a lie. Da 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 da. And then 6ix9ine came back and was like, oh, it's not personal. I'm coming at, you know, Billboard. They're cheaters. They're liars, etc. So yeah, he's still been in there. He's creating a fuss with Billboard. I mean, I don't tend to pay attention to Billboard anyway. As far as mainstream music and, you know, tracking numbers and all that shit, it's whatever. It's stupid. A lot of Billboard hits don't really tickle my fancy anyway. And, honestly, I think he has more important things to worry about. Like, you know, staying alive and not blowing up the spot and letting people know where the fuck he is when, you know, he should be on house arrest. But whatever. When you need the attention, you scream for it. Go ahead. Sorry.
I hate him.
Oh, yeah, same.
I don't know. Like, I don't get it. You know, he snitches on a ton of people, right? People give him a lot of shit for it. A lot. Like, still, it's still going on about, you know, like, oh, all these things. He becomes the most disliked rapper, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Especially because he snitched. But there is a piece of me that's like, yeah, people probably listened to his song when it came out, like 100%. Like, there's a lot of hypocrisy in that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, people are hypocrites because they'll talk shit about you and then they'll listen. Top three on the Billboard. Good for him. I don't know why he's bitching. It's not a good song. But, like, it's just like, oh, number three? I'm so sorry. Like, I don't get him. He's crazy.
That's the thing with people like him and people like him, like, artists like him, fucking Instagram models, freaking IG, you know, it's just that they have inflated egos and it needs to be like they need fulfillment. They need their daily dose of dick riding to be able to live out the rest of their day until the next day. It's literally, that's what it is. I've seen it with people posting photos, you know, trampling all over the poppies and saying shit like, oh, you know, no poppies were harmed in the making of this content, while they're literally standing on the poppies or in areas that are destroying the poppies. And it's just like, it's those inflated egos. It's, they don't give a shit about anything other than those likes, that attention, that everything. And they'll make every excuse and claim they're not doing something, literally on a post showing them doing that thing. And they don't care. They don't care. All they care about is the likes, the attention, that ego just getting tended to and watered by all of these mindless people who also don't care about those things. And it shows. It shows. So, and that's all it is. They need the attention, and they can't go about their day unless it happens, and they get the praise and appreciation that they deem they deserve, like that they have decided this is what I should be getting. And when they don't get it, there's got to be an issue, something's wrong, they're out to get me, blah blah blah. That's what it is. And it's sad, but whatevs, man. Good luck. Cause really, that, like, all when it comes down to Tekashi 6ix9ine, and these are the things that people don't think about, is like, when it comes down to it, what is your legacy going to be? Like, your image and your memory will be tarnished and shit. Cause even good people have had some bad shit come back and bite them in the ass. Or even good people have had some unnecessary shit fuck them over and partially ruin their career or lives. You know, shit people are obviously and totally going to have that come down on him. Like, Tekashi's fucked. He's marked. Like, and it's not even so much as, like, he always brings up the, oh, what was I supposed to be loyal to a bunch of dudes who kidnapped me and try to kill my mother or da-da-da-da-da. It's like, yeah, but you totally outed all these other artists and opened your mouth about people who had nothing to do with all of that. And the fact that you're a clown and you're not a gangster and you're playing a fucking character that you're not. There's that. So it'll come and bite him in the ass eventually. He'll run out of money. He can't, you know, he's obviously attached to that whole gaudy, I need to flash my lifestyle and my money. And it's going to get him killed. Because he's supposed to be laying low. But he's obviously incapable of it. So we'll see. Good luck to him. Hey, good luck, Tekashi. That's good. Good luck, buddy. Someone's going to run up to you and beat your fucking ass. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Like, he's so fucked, it's funny. But, in other news, there was other people who were, of course, being dragged or criticized in the Twitterverse. The court of public opinion is always in session when it comes to Twitter and whatnot, and Lana Del Rey was getting it. She got criticized for calling out Beyonce and her comments on double standards in music. She didn't just talk about Beyonce. She talked about a whole bunch of other artists. Let's find the post. Okay, here we go. She posted on Twitter, and I quote, "Now that Doja Cat, Ariana, Camila, Cardi B, Kehlani, and Nicki Minaj and Beyonce have had number ones with songs about being sexy, wearing no clothes, fucking, cheating, etc. Can I please go back to singing about being embodied, feeling beautiful by being in love, even if the relationship is not perfect, or dancing for money, or whatever I want, without being crucified or saying that I'm glamorizing abuse?" So that was the thing, is I guess she's caught some shit and people have claimed that her music glamorizes abuse, like abusive relationships, and whatnot. She also continued saying she's fed up with female writers and alt singers who've criticized her for glamorizing abuse when she's just singing about the realities of her experiences. She did catch some flack. Of course, people came at her. Even the people who agreed with her were kind of like, you should have addressed it in a different way. That's always the case. Everyone's just like, oh, well, you should have said it differently and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, people claimed that she is, that it was slightly racist, that she came at women of color and, of course, didn't mention any white women, and that she was, you know, showing how she can comfortably sit in her white privilege and bitch about those things while women of color have worked hard just like her and et cetera. So she was getting dragged. And, you know, she came out. She doubled down on what she said. Let's see. This is for USA Today. She took to her Instagram stories late Thursday and said, "It's sad that her comments were taken out of context and turned into a women of color issue, calling Beyonce, Grande, Minaj, and the other women she named earlier her favorite singers." And this is the problem with society today. Not everything is about whatever you want it to be. She said in a statement, it's exactly the point of my post. There are certain women that culture doesn't want to have a voice. Although Del Rey said she doesn't care about her critics, she did want to make one thing clear. Don't ever, 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 bro, call me racist, because that is bullshit. End quote. What do you think, Danny?
I agree with everyone saying that she could have approached it a different way. It's pretty ridiculous how, you know, it's just one of those rants that you know you shouldn't do, but she didn't anyway. She should have known what she was doing. I just don't get it. It's just kind of ridiculous. Don't bash on your, I guess you can't say colleagues, but
your peers
in the same industry. Yeah, your peers. Don't bash on other successful people because, why? Because you were very big in the indie scene and the indie scene is dead? That's just my opinion, by the way, and mm-hmm. I'll say that. And it's like, Lana Del Rey, like, Norman fucking Rockwell was a great album. I liked it. I enjoyed it. That was her most recent. But doesn't mean that, you know, everyone's going out and listening to Lana Del Rey's new album. You know, like, it's one of those things where she, in high school, yeah, she was the god of indie. Like, she was the queen or whatever, and everyone loved her. And so she's seeing people on the charts. I don't think she's topped. She doesn't top the chart for a month or a couple months. She tops the chart for a cool minute, and then she drops. Stuff like that, you know? Like, she's popular. She's like a flash in the pan. And that's just how it is, man. And she's obviously mad that Doja Cat, Nicki Minaj, or Ariana Grande, et cetera, they're always on the charts. They're always up there. And people love them. And I think it's just jealous. She's just jealous, honestly.
I do get that vibe. Again, it's like you're not even in the same category of them. I mean, okay, by all means, make the music that you love. Make the music that you want. Take your art in the direction that you want. But you can't get mad when it's been obvious that taking those avenues when your art does not line up with what's popping, what's trending, what people gravitate to, all that stuff. You can't deter away from that. You know, because you're an artist and whatnot, and you have for whatever reason, you have morals or whatever your reason is that you won't make that poppy shit that everyone eats up. That's great. Good on you. But don't be surprised when you're not getting the same support that those people get. They're going that avenue for a reason. It's what people want on a larger scale. It's what people eat up. It's what people look for. It's the flashy, poppy, mainstreamy, whatever the fuck. People like it for a reason, and people make music like that for a reason because they know they're going to get plays. They know they're going to get it. They know they're making a hit. But don't sit there and be pissed off when your integrity won't allow you to do that. Okay, that's great. Be happy that you have any attention at all, considering you're basically indie. I guess you can, even though I don't know. I feel like Lana Del Rey is a big enough artist to where she can't be considered indie, even though she keeps that vibe and whatnot. What have you. Either way, she's not even in the same ballpark. She's a different artist, and those types of artists don't get attention like the other artists she's bringing in. Nobody said that she can't fucking go and talk about all that stuff. And it's like, you're a celebrity, you're an artist, you're basically talking to the naysayers, and no matter what, you can do everything fucking right. People are gonna bitch and complain for the sake of bitching and complaining. If you're a celebrity and an artist, then that's why I cannot be like a big superstar. Because I would be talking shit to people left and right. And I can acknowledge that. I can acknowledge that I would have a tough time as a celebrity fighting with the naysayers. But the thing is even if you do everything right, if you do everything, if you're a good old boy in the eyes of the fucking court of public opinion, someone is going to troll or someone is going to bitch or someone is not going to like your art. It's just a guaranteed fact. It happens. And it's just, and I feel like a lot of newer artists or younger artists just are having a hard time grasping that. And I just feel like younger generations just have, and even my generation is having a hard, like everybody needs to be involved in something. Everybody needs to be appreciated all the goddamn time, or like it's you just need to be involved and in something always. And it's like, no, you don't. You can just back the fuck off. It's okay. You know, you don't need attention all the time. But whatever, Lana, do your thing. Make your music. People obviously love it. I mean, you're a celebrity now. So just keep doing your thing.
Make another video game song.
Boom. Do that. Keep making the music you love and interacting with the people who love it. And take the stuff that people, when people say they don't like things about your music, take it on the chin and move on. That's what it is. Good luck to you, Lana. other than that, I'm pretty into her. I mean, she had beef with Azalea Banks and told her basically, "Bitch, I'll fuck you up. Like, I won't not fight you if it came down to it." And I hate Azalea Banks, and think that I'm so happy that there's like a freaking woman that stood up to her and was like, "Nah, bitch, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth, really." And I applaud that. So fuck yeah, Lana Del Rey. Keep making music. Ignore the naysayers. I'm surprised that nobody has, like, she hasn't had a single celebrity or person that she looks up to give her that little tidbit of knowledge. Somebody in Lana's corner, help her out. You're gonna get through this, Lana. It's okay. Doja Cat. Oh my gosh. Moving on to Doja Cat. Doja Cat apparently is a self-hating, anti-black mixed person, according to the internet. I believe you have not heard about any of this, Danny.
No,
you're unaware. Okay, so here's an article in XXL. So Doja Cat's catch a major hit on Friday night, May 22nd. The Say So rapper was the number one trending topic on Twitter after a video started circulating of her in a chat with purported racists. Adding insult to injury, a song surfaced where she is said to be using racist remarks and making fun of Sandra Bland's death. So for those of you who don't know, Sandra Bland was the black woman who died in police custody. It's a whole bunch of bullshit. She got arrested for some bullshit, and she ended up dying while in their custody. It was very terrible, very tragic. And according to the internet, there is a song where she is allegedly making racist remarks and making fun of Sandra Bland's death. Now, she actually, Bland's name nor the incident surrounding her death are directly mentioned on the track. She doesn't come out, and there's nothing, and I've heard the track, there's nothing to indicate that she is talking about Sandra Bland or any of that. But it's the apparent racial slur that she used. So in the tiny chat in question, Doja, who is South African and Jewish descent, is seen in a video chopping it up with several white men. The chat is reportedly for members of the alt-right / incel community, an online subculture of men white supremacists who are involuntarily celibate, quote-unquote. After the video surfaced, some people started doing some digging and rediscovered a song from Doja Cat called Didn't Do Nothing, and found that the title is actually a racial slur used by alt-right members against blacks who claim to be innocent after being victims of police brutality. So one of the lyrics was, how much nothing can a dindu do if a dindu didn't do nothing? How much money could a dindu make if a dindu did all the things that you wish to? This was supposedly from 2015. You can look it up on YouTube. I don't know what to make of this. I mean, really, all people have to go on as far as the didn't do nothing supposed slur is Urban Dictionary. That's literally the fuel for this, is people went on Urban Dictionary and looked up what a didn't do, what didn't do nothing means. And the thing is the alt-right and white supremacist circles are known for taking things that are nothing or used for something else and fucking basically like robbing it. What was it, like Pepe the Frog? Pepe the Frog was like a meme, it was funny. And then white supremacists and the alt-right took it and started making memes. Now people, I've gotten into arguments where I use Pepe the Frog as like a, like who's with a nose and a clown wig on, to like call people clowns, and someone was just like, oh, so you're racist now? I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, that's a racist image. And I'm like, no, that's Pepe the Frog. Just because white supremacists took it and hijacked it doesn't take away what it originally is. So I've never heard of this racial slur, didn't do nothing. And this is the first time I've ever heard of it being used that way, or that white supremacists use it. I've never heard about it. Have you?
No, not at all.
I haven't. So I don't know what to make of all this. And the unfortunate thing is there's videos of her dropping M-bombs and using them in not even like a way that people could see as acceptable for a woman of color to use them. She's like using them to be offensive, like, or to be a troll. And I mean, I have seen people equate it to just like, oh, whatever. So she was, you know, a person who wasn't an artist, who wasn't even a celebrity yet, who used to shill and I don't know. I saw some people claiming that was like a fetish thing, that she did it because that's what some men would pay for, just to hear her, you know. And as crazy as it sounds, that's a thing. Like, there's literally like fetishes. I mean, you've got what, fetishes of watching dudes getting stepped on in high heels, or, you know, COVID-19 porn, because people have a fetish of seeing someone getting fucked with a goddamn medical mask on. Yeah, there are fetishes out there, but still, like, it's just gross. I don't know. I mean, if you didn't mean it and you did it for money, whatever, but you had to know that the internet is forever and this would come back and bite you in the ass. Right? No? Am I off base with that?
I think the first rule ever when you turn on the computer is whatever you do on the internet is forever. It's always been like that. So in a, what is it? Let's say we get famous, you know, that's one of my biggest things on my mind is like, what have I done in the past that may be misconstrued, or maybe I did something on purpose to offend a certain group of people, let's say. Like, I'm thinking, like, I think about that every day. Like, if someone were to go back into my Twitter, or to go back into my Facebook, or go back to anything I said, is there anything that could pin me to, like, being offensive? And I generally go back to no, because ever since I've been on the internet, I know for a fact that I know that what I'm saying on the internet will bite me in the ass in the future if I were to be terrible about a certain thing, or if I were to be offensive.
Yeah.
I think I would think of anyone, Doja Cat would be like that because she's been on the internet for a while. And if she did do those things and they are offensive and she didn't mean that, that sucks. Like, that's kind of terrible. I don't know. I just, it's weird. But, I mean, if anyone came and dug up my history, they'd just find a bunch of, like, me role-playing as a vampire in some chat room. So you got nothing on me. You can't pin shit on me.
Yeah, she, and people even came out, like, it wasn't even this person, one person put, like, it's, yeah, Doja's behavior is not, no, I'm biracial and don't fit in on either side. She was blatantly seeking out YouTube supremacists, video chatting, letting them call her the N-word, laughing at their racism. So it wasn't like she was trolling or she was like in a position in her life where she was confused or something about, you know, her race or what have you. Anyways, she sought these people, are basically saying, no, you sought these people out. You had fun with them. You hung out with them. You know, you let them call you the N-word. You basically signed off on all this bullshit. And there's been some reports that some of those people weren't actually racist and blah, blah, blah. Of course, this is the internet. You know, people are digging and finding stuff up, and it's not looking good for her. It's not looking good for her. So what her, regardless of her intentions, it looks really bad. And she's getting dragged. And I'm not going to say whether I support her or not. As of right now, it's looking like she's not going to have much support on this issue. And
she needs to come back with the receipts. That's what she needs to do. Mm-hmm. And that'll pretty much come down to business. When Pro Jared, this is gaming stuff, but mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about Pro Jared. Do you know who Pro Jared is?
No.
He's a YouTuber. He generally does games. He plays games. He has a weird looking face, honestly. So Pro Jared, his wife accused him of cheating on him and talking to underage girls and sending them nudes. Completely destroyed his career. It, like, plummeted everything. He was gone for 6 months, and then he came back with receipts. And then he came back with all the evidence that proved him innocent, and then everything is back to normal. Like, she literally needs that. She needs, like, some kind of proof, and she needs an explanation for all of this stuff that's been happening or what she did in the past, for her to even get back on her feet, because, like, this is, as soon as you get canceled, man, it's.
And a lot of people claim that people started digging and there's this little theory, conspiracy theory, that the men who were pissed off that she didn't show her tits after going number one were like, well, fuck this bitch, we're gonna destroy her now. So they started digging on the internet, and they found some shit. And yeah, that is a thing, too. People were very bent out of shape because Doja was on her live claiming, like, all right, hey, if my song goes number one, I'll show you guys my tits. And people should have known she wasn't serious. Come on, again, fucking people on the internet. I'm sure they think some dudes, I'm sure they think strippers like them, too. But, it's, yeah, she didn't do it. She was just joking. She's always trolling she's always trolling. And that's the thing is, from the people coming to her defense, is she is always known to be a troll in her own right and her own ways as well. And that's why people are saying, like, oh, she was probably just trolling them. But it's like, still, like, you took the time to hang out with these people when you're half black. And or part of you know, you're of black and Jewish descent or what have you. And it just doesn't look good. It, regardless, like, you were around that. You allowed it to happen. Like, you don't have enough respect that you couldn't not do that. Like, it's, you know, whatever. And people have a reason for doing the things they do. I do know that people get bored and do really stupid and risky and not smart things just to entertain themselves. Or go entertain themselves by talking to a group of people that generally are frowned upon. But what have you. It is what it is. Good luck, Doja. Fucking, and I don't mean that in, like, a, hey, I hope you come out of this. I just, whatever. Well, fucking, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm surprised. I knew she was a troll, but I didn't think she'd do this shit. I mean, I have been in a... Well, no, because even when I used to troll the Juggalo community, I didn't go pretend like I was cool with them. I just outright fucking talked shit about them. So the thought process behind why you would go insert yourself in white supremacist groups and, like, kick it with them, I have no clue. I have no clue. I really don't. Was she doing something to get money? I don't know. Whatever it may be, it doesn't look good for her. Doja.
Rip. You're fucked.
You look pretty fucked right now. good luck. Good luck, because a majority of your community is saying fuck you right now. But aside from that, that's the drama shit that I've seen. I haven't really heard about any other drama that's been going on. Yeah, we'll see what else comes in the next week. But that was kind of what was trending on Twitter, aside from some of the new shows and whatnot. Speaking of shows, I did want to talk about some of the cool stuff that happened this week as far as internet TV goes. First, I wanted to mention this cool thing that I barely found out about today. Very sad that I'm barely finding out about it, because it involves one of my favorite people, Jack Black. Shouts out to Jack Black. Apparently, I look like him. I don't get it, but whatever. Jack Black is, or at least hosted one show called Celebrity Escape Room. They did it for charity. Per this is News Observer. The Celebrity Escape Room. This special kicks off NBC's annual Red Nose Day and features Ben Stiller, Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, and Adam Scott, who race from room to room solving a series of puzzles that help them engineer their escape. Jack Black serves as game master. All of this raises money for Red Nose Day, which this year addresses the impact of COVID-19 and children living in poverty. If you know what escape rooms are, this is it. It was basically a televised event of four celebrities going through an escape room hosted by Jack Black. If you don't know, Lisa Kudrow and Courtney Cox were on Friends together. Of course, Ben Stiller. If you don't know who Ben Stiller is, what the fuck? And Adam Scott. Adam Scott was on Parks and Rec. He's been he was in Step Brothers. He's great. He's awesome. Yeah, Ben Wyatt and Parks and Rec. And yeah, they got together and were in this like high school theme, like throwback high school themed escape room. And Jack Black was basically hosting it and talking over the microphone and laughing at them and pushing little buttons and doing all basically like the perfect job for Jack Black, honestly, to be a host of like an escape room fucking with people. That's awesome. I'm sad that I didn't know about this. I would have loved to have watched this live. Just seeing some of the clips looks really funny, looks really fun. It was really cool. Like, it was a really in-depth escape room. And, yeah, Jack Black was just, like, this evil guy. He was like Oz behind the curtain pushing buttons and pulling handles and levers and shit. And it was great. And for a good cause. I love all these specials and events that they're having that are all for great causes, and celebrities are, you know, doing their thing to give back, and it's great. It's really great. Check it out. I'm not sure if they have I have yet to see a full video of it online. I definitely want to watch it and check it out, because it really looks fun.
100%.
It's great. I hope there's more, and honestly, like, I really, really want to see Jack Black host more of these. They should do more. They should, for more charities that are coming out throughout the year, they should do more celebrity escape rooms. I can't wait to look at this. Check it out. And if you saw it, tell me about it. Is it worth it?
I hope so. Red Nose Day, the Red Nose Day events that they have are always really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always enjoy watching them. What is it? There's, I think it was last year, Stephen Colbert actually played D&D for Red Nose Day with Matt Mercer, the legend of D&D right now.
Oh, wow.
They played a D&D campaign with just a one-on-one, and Stephen bear. It was really funny. It was a great hour and a half, and I loved it. And so they're actually coming back for Red Nose Day, I believe, June 18th, where they're gonna have a celebrity table of people playing, and like David Harbour from Stranger Things, Middleditch. You got Chris Perkins. Like they're having a bunch of like celebrities play D&D for Red Nose Day, and I'm super excited to see that because the first one was really good. But yeah. I always love the Red Nose Days events. They're really great, and they're for good cause. So
yes, fuck yeah! Thank you NBC. Thank you Jack Black. Thank you to Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, Adam Scott, and Ben Stiller. I look forward to watching this. This is definitely something that I missed that I do want to watch again. And yeah, it was awesome. So check it out, people. Also, something that I fucking was so excited to see, looked forward to a countdown. It came, it went, and I don't know how I feel about it that it was gone so soon. The community cast table read happened on this past Monday. I believe it was the 18th. Yes, last Monday, the 18th. The cast of Community, well, a majority of the old cast from Community, the main cast, came back for a table read of cooperative polygraphy, which was the episode of Community where they went to Pierce, which is Chevy Chase's character's funeral, and they get put through a polygraph test to prove that neither of them killed him or murdered him. And they basically are doing it because they are eligible to be bequeathed some of his estate, which was like millions of dollars. And ultimately, it's the episode that sets up Troy's leaving, that Troy being Donald Glover's character, Troy leaving the show. Because the show, the episode after that episode was his last episode, and he left after that. It was for a good cause. They got together to raise money for, I keep botching the name. It was, okay, Jose Andres World Central Kitchen and Frontline Foods. They were raising money to help support and feed frontline workers and essential workers during COVID-19. At the time of this posting, which was the day after the event, they had raised over $95,000 for the charity, and it was just so great. It was like seeing the episode brand new again. They even had a special guest come in. Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian was a special guest on the community table read, and he came in playing the he did the reading of the tester, the guy who asked all the questions during the episode. He filled in for him. Yeah, it was really fucking hilarious because he obviously didn't read all of the script beforehand, because when he got to the part where they start handing out the samples of Pierce's viral sperm, he cracked up. Like, he literally, like, he broke every single time that he had to mention Pierce's sperm.
Yeah.
And it was fucking awesome. Not only that, anytime he would say man, anytime the word man would be said, Dan Harmon would always chime in with DeLorean. And it was the funniest shit ever. Also, just to see them all together again, talking. Even after the table read, there was about 45 minutes to an hour of a questionnaire where the dude from Vulture asked them all questions, fan questions, all that stuff. It was so good, and it was for a good cause. Guys, I got a little emotional just because it was so great to see them all together again, doing their thing, talking, you know, like it to the image of Donald Glover with the rest of the cast of Community has been like a dream, because ever since he left, I feel like I never saw him with those people ever again. Yeah. And they're all friends, and I'm sure they've all hung out, but like, as far as Donald Glover and Community goes, that whole thing was dead, and I never expected to see it. And it almost felt like he had distanced himself from it a lot. Of course, from the outside looking in, that would look like it, especially as he completely shifted his focus to music and then new shows and then basically like characters and a persona that is fairly different from Troy. Because I don't know, I felt like Donald Glover is Troy. He wasn't too far off from who he really was as a person. And then once, like, because the internet and all that stuff happened, he just took on a different persona. Like, the whole Childish Gambino thing came in, and I didn't see him as that goofy Donald Glover anymore, you know? He was more serious. He was into the music. He was portraying his character or, you know, the Childish Gambino persona, and I just didn't get Troy anymore, and a part of me died when I started noticing that. So, but no, just to see it all was so great. It was still funny. It was still like you were watching an episode, and like even to hear them all like break, and they're all on a Zoom call. So as people are delivering some of their lines, like even some of the characters are still laughing hysterically during certain parts. And it was just so great to see. And of course, Dan Harmon was there. Again, I'm sure you guys are all wondering, if you're like me, the movie, what's going on? We still don't know. Everybody's down for it. The actors are down for it. It just needs to be written. I think it could happen. I really do. I just think that everybody's busy. And even people like Joel McHale have said that with Community being added back to Netflix, the buzz has definitely grown and it's become more of a reality to people. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, either way, guys, it was amazing. The community table read of cooperative polygraphy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing
polygraphy.
It's polygraphy. Sorry, I'm an idiot right now.
Okay.
Polygraphy. The polyamorous graffitis.
Game murderer says what?
What? I've been informed.
He's telling the truth.
He's telling the truth. Okay, I did it. I killed Pierce. That's a lie. All right, I was just checking. But yeah, check it out, guys. It's on YouTube. Cooperative Polygraphy. Check it out. It was awesome. And hopefully we get a movie. That's going to be it for what's trending and things to watch. That's all I got for that. Let's see what else is on the docket, shall we? You got anything you need to say to the people while I look at the docket?
Okay. I've been watching some shows.
Wait. I got one more thing to talk about. How the fuck did I press over this? I'm sorry.
Just go fuck myself.
Joe Biden. I just want to say for anybody that is still trying to push Joe Biden on me, you guys are fucking morons. And this is for people, not anyone. If you haven't pushed Joe Biden on me, then obviously you're not a moron. If you're going to vote for Joe Biden, whatever, that's your thing. But if you're trying to push him on me and trying to convince me that I should vote for him, nah. So Joe Biden got some what the fuck looks, and it was very much deserved. So in an interview with Charlemagne the God, he claimed that people, if you can't decide whether you should vote for Joe Biden over Trump, then you, ladies and gentlemen, ain't black. This is a real thing. This really happened. So Charlemagne was in an interview with Joe Biden, and let's see. Sorry, hold on. Okay. Charlemagne. Okay, let's see. So in an interview, Oh, God. The presumptive Democratic nominee's comment came at the end of an at times tense interview with Charlamagne the God on The Breakfast Club. A staffer interjected that Biden needed to go, and Charlamagne shot back, "You can't do that to black media." "I do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock," Biden said, referring to his wife, Jill Biden, apparently needing to use the broadcast studio they've built in their basement in Delaware, as the coronavirus pandemic has knocked Biden off the campaign trail. Glancing at his watch, Biden said, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." Charlamagne told Biden that he should come to the studio in New York City for another interview, telling the former vice president that, "We've got more questions." "You've got more questions?" Biden replied. "Well, I tell you what, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black."
The funniest thing is Charlamagne quickly going and like, "Okay, okay, thank you very much. Thank you." Like,
Charlamagne responded, "It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community." And then Biden shot back, "Take a look at my record, man." Later on Friday afternoon, Biden addressed his comments in a call with the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce, saying, "I shouldn't have been so cavalier," and insisting he doesn't take black voters for granted. "The bottom line of all this, perhaps I was much too cavalier. I know that the comments have come off like I was taking the African-American vote for granted, but nothing could be further from the truth. I've never, ever done that, and I've earned it every time I've run," he said. Guys, I just, when did it become common practice to completely disregard proper etiquette and talking points and what you should and shouldn't say to a fucking camera during a live broadcast or an interview?
In the office.
I just don't get it, like, from, or just in the public eye, like, what, and we see it day in and day out, celebrities getting put in hot water or fucking up and saying something stupid, and, like, isn't this what a publicist is for? Like, isn't this, don't people get hired to help you with this kind of shit? Why would you say something so stupid? like, come on, man. Like, come on. What are your thoughts on this, Danny?
I think Joe Biden is a man, and I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm too scared to even vote at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to anyway, just to get some people off my back. But, That's a bold comment. I don't care what anyone says. How are you going to tell, like, a whole race of people that they're not black if they don't vote for you?
Well,
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, to say any community is not loyal to that community, basically, which is what he's insinuating. Or what anybody insinuates with a comment, where whether you pull words out and replace them with something else. If you're trying to tell any community as a whole that they're not supportive or loyal to that community because they won't vote for you, that's ridiculous. It's stupid.
The thing is it's true that a lot of votes from the black community go to the Democrats. It's true, like it has throughout all these years, because they look very appealing. Obviously they look appealing to a lot of people. They look appealing to Hispanics. Like, our parents voted for Democrat. They're still voting for Democrat 100%.
Yeah.
Like, say it's true.
Well,
like,
they tend to have more progressive ideals. And I mean, are the younger generations tend to lean more towards progressive ideals, and
yeah,
though it's not perfect, that's the closest we're going to get to what we want.
And that's why a lot of people vote Democrat. Whereas the last couple of years, especially for me, I just feel like it's getting more twisted and confusing. It's not the same as what, like, I used to hear back in the day. It's just this kind of shit show that's going on. And so to me, when Joe Biden said that, it's like, I'm a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
So you need to vote for me, or you're not actually black. Like, that to me, that's like, we've had your vote for so long. If you don't vote for us, then you're not actually you know, you're not actually this race. It just doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It's a stupid comment. I hate how Charlemagne didn't say a goddamn thing about it. And lo and behold, leave it to Charlemagne to do something like that, because his comments by far are the stupidest on The Breakfast Club. I hate Charlemagne. Like, he's dumb. I hate everything he says on that show. And like, this is just kind of like, I don't know why he wanted to interview Joe Biden. Like, let him, of course. The interview was probably going really well until he said that. And it's just like, yeah, where's his publicist? Where is the person handling Joe Biden right now? Because it's just crazy, man. Both sides are crazy. I'm going to vote for Donald Duck. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do. Like,
Mayor McCheese, like, maybe.
Yeah, Mayor Mc... And I, like, at this point, it's just like, I don't see the appeal in Democrats, nor do I see the appeal in Republican. And just because my friends go, don't vote for Donald Trump, vote for Joe Biden, like, why? Because he's Democrat? Like, he is obviously not the best option right now. He's not looking too hot, honestly.
Oh, and, Joe Biden. Yeah. I just got to say...
Whack.
Bro, I'm not voting for you. I'm not voting for you, Joe Biden. You're a moron. And the fact that he thought it was okay to say some dumb shit like that without even thinking, that is another feather in the cap of, hey, don't vote for this fucking old clown. Not doing it. We have an actual clown in the presidency right now, yes, but I'm not voting for another clown. Like, no, let's stop the clown car. And you know what? I'm going to say this. You know what? And this is to you, Danny, and to other people. You can vote without having to vote for the president. Let me say this again. You can hit the polls and vote for different mandates, for propositions, for other positions in your local county 100%. State government and federal government without having to vote for the president. Again, I'm going to say this one more time. You do not have to vote for the next president of this country. Guys, stop fucking telling people that they have to vote. It's funny how many people I've seen, friends of my own, that talk about how for freedom they are, yet they will fucking dog and bash people who exercise their freedoms as they see fit. You do not, again, do not, one more time, don't, do not have to vote for the fucking president if you don't like the candidates. The two-party system is fucking things so much. When and it shows when all people talk about are those two candidates and then will fucking basically dog you and talk shit about you and fucking make fun of you or come down, like, just come down on you because you're not buying into this bullshit. It's stupid. It's so dumb. It's so obvious that both the Republican and the Democratic parties are falling apart and they're full of shit. They don't give a crap about you guys. You need to start breaking that mold of the two-party system, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to say that. You don't have to do that. Vote for someone better. And if the parties aren't delivering, it's not, oh, well, I just got to go. No, because they're both fucking it up. They're both fucking it up, plain and simple. Go on. I'm sorry about that.
Well, after the political thing, I have actually an update on Doja Cat. This just in.
Okay. Hit me with it, Danny.
So she released a post about an hour ago while we were recording.
Sweet.
She said, I want to address that's what's been happening on Twitter. I've used public chat rooms to socialize since I was a child. I shouldn't have been on some of those chat room sites, but I personally have never been involved in any racist conversations. I'm sorry to everyone that I offended. I'm a black woman. Half of my family is black from South Africa, and I'm very proud of where I come from. As for the old song that's resurfaced, it was in no way tied to anything outside of my own personal experience. It was written in response to people who often use the term to hurt me. I made an attempt to flip its meaning, but recognized that it was a bad decision to use my term in my music. I understand my influence and impact, and I'm talking I'm taking this all very seriously. I love you all, and I'm sorry for upsetting or hurting anyone. That's not my character, and I'm determined to show that to everybody moving forward. Thank you.
Well, there you have it here first on the Chit Show podcast. What do you think? I mean, that kind of goes along, you know, what kind of what I was saying. Like, I just think she was, honestly, I think she was in there just bored. She was bored. Doesn't make it any right. I mean, especially with who you are. But granted, when people are younger, we do dumb shit, whatever. Again, listening to that song, I did not get that vibe. And even other people have acknowledged, like, the Sandra Bland thing and what people said she was talking about in that song. I just didn't get that. None of the lyrics, you could literally, the only thing that ties anything on, I feel like it was a reach. I feel like it was a reach to try to tie that song in with Sandra Bland. And honestly, I feel like it was just people going for a reach because they were looking to dig shit up and they were just looking to hurt her. Because it's so easy to do that on the internet. It really is. But again, you still did that shit on Tiny Chat. You still said the things you said. So now it's up to the public to decide whether they can forgive you or not. Because even, what is it, Sabrina Claudio, some past tweets of hers came up where she was young and she was, I think, dropping M-bombs and saying some dumb shit. And that's a thing that people don't realize, is that at a young age, even in early 20s or fucking late teens, people do shit just to be edgy. That's it. They're feeling a way, they want to be edgy. Is it wrong? Absolutely, and they got to pay for that. But then it's up to the public to decide, okay, am I going to forgive this person or not? And Sabrina Claudio is one of those person who came under this heat, and people have since kind of like, okay, well, you were young and stupid, obviously. What are you doing now? Okay, we forgive you. But Doja, it might be a little harder because she's known to troll. She likes to get under people's skin. She likes to just poke that bear. Well, the bear poked back. Good luck. Whatever you guys want to make of it, go for it. Me personally, I want to see how she continues to react, because usually I take these apologies with a grain of salt until at least some time after the apology. Because if the actions and way moving forward continues on and supports that initial apology, then I can for the most part conclude that it was genuine. But if you're out here still doing fuck shit and just being stupid and trolling and acting and basically acting in a way that doesn't make people feel like that apology was genuine, then fuck you. Obviously, you did it just to try to put the fires out and you really don't care about your actions. So we'll see. For me personally, we'll see in the coming days and weeks how she acts. I mean, generally, me, myself, I've enjoyed Doja Cat and have liked her personality and who she is, not just her music, but who she is on the internet. I think she was funny and whatnot, but I mean, again, this shit came up and it's like, damn, you know? So again, whether you want to accept the apology and move forward and continue to support her, that is on you, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I don't know what to make of it, because there are people who are still supporting Tekashi 6ix9ine and still all about him, and he's obviously to the point where he's still going up on the Hot 100. So people are people. People do what they do, support what they support. We'll see where it goes. Thanks for that breaking news. Breaking news with Danny Cardona here on the Shit Show podcast. The what?
I said war in the Pacific.
Thank you. So yeah, there's that. Good luck to Doja. We'll see what happens. We'll see if those little freckles that you put on your face, I don't even know if she has actual natural freckles or not.
But yeah, let's see. Say what you say so.
Yeah, let's see if those freckles save you, lady. But people still want to see your tits, so they might still be bent out of shape about that. So we'll see. Since we got back on the Doja Cat, fuck it. Music. Or should we move on to music, or should we jump into gaming real quick?
It's up to you, man. You're the host.
Let's jump into gaming real quick. You have some stuff you want to talk about.
Sure.
Let's hear it.
I finally played Streets of Rage 4.
Okay.
Because I had purchased a Xbox One X since I have been wanting one for a couple years. So that was last week. And actually, Streets of Rage 4 is included in the Game Pass, which the Game Pass is the best thing on the planet. It's just Microsoft being a bro and releasing all of their first-party titles and a lot of other titles for free, for $10 a month.
Okay.
It's kind of like Netflix of gaming, pretty much. So I played Streets of Rage 4. I love that game. I really enjoyed it. I've beaten it with four of the characters already. So I just have, what's his name? Floyd?
Yeah, you have Axel, Blaze, Cherry, and Floyd.
And then the one you unlock later.
Oh, Adam.
I have to beat him with Adam because I'm going for those achievements.
Okay.
But I think it's really fun. I think the soundtrack I loved. I love the soundtrack. I think it's really cool how each song is just kind of like the setting and who you're fighting, and I really like that. Other than that, yeah, I got an Xbox One X. I've been playing a ton of games on there. Jump Force, which is an anime arena fighting game. That game's intense. It looks beautiful on the Xbox.
Okay.
And of course, my game collection grows larger. I just made a big purchase of a lot of stuff, and I'm super happy. So I got to clean all those cartridges up, but I got a ton of NES titles, a ton of Super Nintendo titles, purchased a spanking new Xbox 360. And so, yeah, I'm still on that game collecting, man. Still,
hell yeah.
Still on it, dude.
Fuck yeah. Congrats.
And it's been great. Yeah. And that's it. That's pretty much it.
Good shit, my guy.
Valorant is coming soon.
Okay.
That was the most recent summer games thing to happen. Is Valorant is League of the people who make League of Legends. It's their CS:GO, pretty much.
Oh wow.
So that's going to be dropping to the public very soon. Last of Us 2 next month. So.
Ooh, we're getting a call right now.
Ooh.
We're gonna answer this real quick. My buddy Nathan, who I just recently visited, is calling. Hello, Nathan Vasquez. Just letting you know, this is Leo of the Chit Show podcast with Danny Cardona. We are live right now, and you are live on the show. What's up, brother?
I fucking love you.
What's going on? How you doing?
I fucking love you. How about that?
That's it? Is that all you called to tell me?
Well, no, but you know what? I fucking love you. How about that?
I love you too, brother. You the man.
Fucking love you, Gom.
you want me to call you back? I can call you back as soon as we're done. We're going to be finished soon.
Yes, sir.
You okay? Wait, what's up?
But I just want everybody and everyone else to know.
Okay. I
fucking love you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
It is fucking love you.
Memorial Day is clearly in full swing.
Hey, but can I tell you one thing? Can I tell you one thing though?
Okay.
Before you go.
Okay.
I'm on that Mick Jenkins Carefree.
Oh, Mick Jenkins?
Mick Jenkins Carefree.
Is that your new shit?
It is. It is.
I told you, bro. That whole album, The Circus, is fly.
I fucking love you, and you know what? You should be ashamed of yourself for not being here. Fuck you.
I'll get back out there as quickly as possible.
Totally JK.
I'll make sure to get back out there with my records as quickly as possible. I promise.
All right, so fuck you. I'm going to proceed with the program then, man.
You're going to what?
I'll proceed with the program.
Oh, pff. Wait a minute. Let me call you back when I'm done.
Let you.
I love you too, brother. All right, later.
Oh, wow. What an amazing call.
That was great. I love the content. Where else are you going to get quality content like that, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. Yeah, I'll give him a call back after. Shit, what were we talking? We were talking gaming, right? Yeah. Yeah, dude. Congrats on the retro game stuff. Real quick about Streets of Rage, some extra things that I want to throw in there. I don't know if people know this. Just some cool little features. You can change, like, the food pickups throughout the game. You can change those. So, like, by default, it's, like, an apple and a big, like, roasted chicken. You can change it. Mine right now is my large food item is a burger with fries. And then the small food item is an order of onion rings. Digby, shouts out to Digby, who has been a guest on the show before. His is like a ramen and a slice of pizza.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So you can change those in the options. Also, you can change your music soundtrack. So if you want to listen to only the old school soundtrack, you can actually play just the retro music. I actually have that set right now. So there's a bunch of cool little things that you can do to just make it a little more interesting, and especially if you're like me and you love those old school vibes from the previous games, you can do that. Aside from unlocking all the characters from the previous games, which I am now working on the Streets of Rage 3 list. And yeah, that's just a little bit about Streets of Rage 4, a little extra stuff that makes it a little cool. I mean, the new soundtrack is dope, but of course me, Mr. Nostalgia, I love that old shit, so I've been rocking that. But yeah, as far as me, gaming, haven't really been playing too much that is new. Still on Animal Crossing, of course. Shout out to them. They did throw out another event. They have the Museum Day event going on for, I think it's going to be done soon. But you go, basically, you can earn, you go on a tour of your own museum. You go to different stamp booths. You get a stamp. And then you go to Blathers, who is the museum curator, and he gives you basically a trophy for completing each of the three areas. You could do it multiple times, but you get the same prize every time. So definitely just a quick run-through thing. Wasn't much of a replay value type thing for me. I didn't go back and do it again. If they were giving different prizes, then yeah, I probably would have, but they weren't, so fucking no. Danny also had me on his stream recently, which was really nice. Got to show everybody on his stream my island.
Yeah.
He came for a visit. That was pretty cool. Even had our nephew was just like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this collaboration. He even complained, was like, that was a short collab. I'm like, well, you know, if they wanted more, you know, speak up. Of course, I don't know what else I could collab with you on. You have all the dope new upgraded systems, and I'm an old buffoon.
I have all the oldest shit in the planet. It'll break at any second.
Yeah, but like we can't stream that. I'd have to go over to you and play it at your place to be able to stream it. Oh wait, no, yeah. RetroArch, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're in the same room, but yes, we can do that on RetroArch. Yeah.
Or should I cut that out of the pod?
No, you're good.
But yeah, what were you about to say? Sorry.
No, that's why I had you download it, so we could play games.
I'm down. We should do that. And I let Greg know about that too. I think I still need to shoot him the link for that, but he's down for that as well. And then I've been playing a lot of old school. I got back into Dota 2. I actually set up my phone so I could play ranked matches because I never played ranked. So I'm looking to, you know, start focusing on the characters I'm dope with. I played a lot of that yesterday. Counter-Strike 1.6, I jumped back on that. Been having fun, even though I suck again. Been having fun on that. And yeah, just trying to beat games that I haven't beat. Those roguelike games are fucking like Rad, Dead Cells, Blazing Beaks. Those are hard, man. And I keep getting so damn close and thinking I'm like, oh, this is amazing run. I'm going to knock it out the park. Nah, dude. And then I get bitch slapped into oblivion. So, yeah, if you guys have any game suggestions, shoot them my way. I would love to play stuff. I've been eager to get back into old school gaming. I think I'm going to finish up some of the games on my N64. I did start on Super Mario 64. Got about 60 stars in and then stopped. So I'm going to go ahead and finish that and some other stuff. But yeah, that's going to do it for gaming. Thank you, Danny. Woo! If you guys have any suggestions or anything you want us to check out and review, let us know. Shoot us a message or tell me in a call or what have you, whatever, dude. But yeah, that's going to be gaming. Let's move on to music, our final segment of the show. Music, yes, I did get around to finishing some of the stuff I had on my list. Luckily, like I said, this week's list of music that I wanted to check out was not that vast. So the fact that I moved last week's list over was very doable and easy. Danny, let's start with you. You got anything that you want to talk about?
Specifically, that is? Unfortunately, I've been listening to a lot of new things. The only thing that I've been doing is the 30-day challenge on Instagram, where it's topics.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, day one, this pick the song that you
reminds
know,
you of summer.
Yeah, and so I've been doing that. I did. So the biggest things that I've been listening to is because of this, I've been going back to old stuff I used to listen to in middle school and high school. So listen to that old Asking Alexandria again. I don't know why. Gets me hyped in the fucking car. Want me to just fight some people.
Yeah.
It was great. And some old Escape the Fate. And that's pretty much it. Nothing new on my end, honestly. So I apologize.
No worries. No worries. Yeah. I did check out some albums while I was gaming. Let's start with the older stuff first. I finally checked out Dark Lane demo tapes from Drake. Quite enjoyed that. Listened to that on my way to Hesperia. I will say, I am not by any means a Drake fan. Some could say I'm the exact opposite. But I do know when Mr. Champagne Poppy makes hits. I can now, in my more mature music listening state, I guess. I will acknowledge when people make some good music, and this album, this mixtape was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Dude's got bars, man. I mean, Drake can really rap his ass off when he wants to. And some of those tracks, I was just like, okay, Drake, okay, I hear you, buddy, I hear you. I enjoyed it. It was a nice little soundtrack to my drive, and I definitely was vibing in the car. And it was good. I actually started off my trip to Hesperia with a different album, E40, The Curb Commentator, Channel 1. That was interesting. I will say that I don't necessarily like E40's style as much as I used to, I guess. I don't know. Sometimes when he raps, it throws me off a little bit. I guess he is an example of one of those rappers that can kind of, I'll put it this way, the way that Blueface raps, but Blueface can never catch the beat and he constantly fucks up and doesn't sound well. Whereas like in a rapper like E40 can sort of fall off the beat a little bit, but catch it quickly and it still sound good, but it still bugs me the way he raps sometimes. And a lot of the beats that he uses are just super plain and just meh, just basic. Like, it got me thinking, like, shit, I could totally make music like this and fucking pop. But then again, when you think that way, then that means there's definitely a whole bunch of other people making music exactly like that. So, saturated. But anyway, I still enjoyed it. There was literally one song where he was rapping, and I was like, wow, this sounds like a song that... He sounds like Sugar Free. Like, I feel like Sugar Free should be on the song. And then second verse, Sugar Free was on the fucking song. I literally pulled up the goddamn Spotify playlist and was like, oh my gosh, it is actually Sugar Free. That's fucking hilarious. But if you love E40, I'm sure you'll enjoy this. It was still had some bops in there, as you youngins like to call them, bops.
Bop.
There's definitely some bops. There's definitely a track or two, maybe three. And it was a short one. It was more like an EP. It really wasn't a long album. But it, for the most part, it was enjoyable. It was dope, and it's E40. Check it out. Boys Noize, finally listened to Strictly Bunker. Again, Strictly Bunker is an album that Boys Noize made on Twitch. So he sat on Twitch and live streamed him making all these tracks. It was basically like an EP as well. Definitely like experimentally, like it kind of has an industrially vibe, but you can dance to it, you can boogie to it. I enjoyed it. I had some friends who were like, this is interesting. And I was like, yeah, but I still dug it. Check it out. The Strictly Bunker album from Boys Noize. Some newer stuff that I finally got to. This artist, I think it's Bicla, B-I-I-C-L-A, has a track called Deeper that Zed's Dead and Funkin' Matt did a remix to. Dancey tune. I haven't listened to the original, only the remix. I quite enjoyed it. It's definitely not like a dubstep or a bass vibe that you've known from Zed's Dead. There's definitely more of a dancey house dance music vibe. Check it out. The 1975 came out with a new album called Notes on a Conditional Form. Long. Let me just tell you, it's long.
Always.
Very eclectic. Like, they touch so many different genres. Like, they started off with almost like a punk, like, harder rock feel. And then they got into, like, some electronic vibes where they had, like, some garage or some bassy stuff. And then they got into more poppier, like, a poppier band vibe. And I liked the jumping, and I think they executed well. They definitely was a lot to think about and digest. They open up the album with Greta, Thunberg? The young climate change activist, I guess we can call her if that's appropriate. Sorry if it's not. Basically, they opened up with a spoken word or like a speech from her. And then got right into the album. Definitely had some deep moments. It just jumped around as far as genres go. I want to listen to it again, but from what I listened, and I listened to the whole thing, I kind of enjoyed it. It was all right. I'm not a fan of the 1975. I have heard producers make remixes of the 1975's tracks, but I haven't actually sat down and listened to the 1975, and this was definitely different from what I'm used to listening to, but it still piqued my interest, and I still mostly enjoyed it. So check it out, especially if you're a fan. It's very interesting. Same with like Butch Walker, you know, it was just the greater umbrella of themes and topics that they talk about is really, really what makes it something to check out. So definitely check it out. That's really all that I have on the list. I mean, I checked out the Indigo Girls Look Long. I'm pretty sure the Indigo Girls have been in music for a really long time. And they had some stuff. I just didn't pay too much attention to it. I was playing games as I listened, and I didn't finish listening to it, but it was interesting. Definitely sounded like an album that an older act would make. And I'll probably finish checking it out. Probably not, but we'll see. But that's going to do it for music. I mean, that's all I really have. I don't really have much else. As far as listening to me and my music, guys, if you, just a reminder that I stream DJ mixes on Twitch and also radio shows. So every Wednesday and Saturday, I do Brona Radio. Wednesdays at 7 p.m., Saturdays at 12 p.m. So I just play music, no DJ mix. I take requests, I chat, we hang out, set a vibe, enjoy the evening or afternoon, and just hang out. And, of course, the DJ mix every Friday, I do a different DJ mix. I missed my DJ mix this past Friday. There was a lot going on Twitch as far as streams. So I was like, it's kind of pointless. But this next Friday, I might make up for it. There is another Friday here, I believe, in May. I think we're hitting a fifth Friday in May. So I'm probably going to do my Bass Face stream that I missed this past Friday then. So that's on my Twitch stream, 8 p.m. on Friday. It's going to be bass music, dubstep, drum and bass, trap, all that stuff. Check me out. Follow me on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/IamBrute. Also, check out Danny's streams. He's streaming all types of stuff. He mostly does gaming, but he also kicks it, watches TikTok videos, looks at funny stuff with his Twitch followers. That is twitch.tv/BulldozerDanko. And of course, make sure you're following us on social media. I am at IamDJBrute on all social media, and Danny is at The Real Danko. Danny, do you have anything to say to the people?
I beat Katana for the first time. That's all I gotta say.
On like
in Final Fight.
Oh, really? You've never made it past him?
Yeah, I'm trash at that game. I'm trash. But I got to the third area.
Okay.
So that's the goal. I'm not gonna play any other Super Nintendo game until I beat that game. So.
It's such a good game, and honestly, I prefer the music on that one more than the other versions. Honestly.
And shout out to the one dude who came in and said I'm starting a fundraiser for people to stop playing Final Fight on the Super Nintendo. Yeah, fuck you. Let me play my game. That's all I have. Also- But to the listeners, thank you for listening. Yeah,
thanks so much. I appreciate it. Seriously, guys, I take fan input a lot and supporter input. If there's certain things you want me to touch on or start talking about or review, let me know. I know sometimes the podcast can get a little stale with the things that I bring up, but it is what it is. I'm going to also start trying to put some times in the description. So if there's things that you want to skip and topics you want to move on to, you will know what time to skip forward to. So I'll let you know that as soon as possible. Again, and also if you want to support us a little bit financially, please become a patron. Support our Patreon, patreon.com/chitshowpodcast. That would be really great. I would really appreciate it. It's just $5 a month. You get bonus episodes, bonus content. I update you as much as I can. I'll give you a schedule and a list of guests beforehand so you know who's coming onto the show. And chat with you, even plan on doing in-show calls where we'll call you in the middle of the show, just like I took my buddy's phone call. We will call you live on the show just to hit you up, maybe do a little interview, see how your day's going, say hello, and thank you for your support. And of course, when I eventually make stickers and t-shirts, you have access to those. You don't have to pay for it. Your subscription pays for that, so you will automatically, I will just get your address and get your shirt size and send you some swag. But yes, thank you guys so much. Danny, thank you again for taking some time to do the show with me.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can stream us anywhere, Spotify, Google, Apple, or anywhere you get podcasts. Every Monday at 5 a.m., the show is available, and we do one weekly. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all the best. Hey. We hope you're doing good out there. Stay healthy, guys. Remember, keep your mental health in mind. Make sure you talk to your friends. Open up. If you need help, speak up. Shit, hit me up. I'll help you. Y'all the best. Thank you, Danny. You're the man.
You're the man.
Peace and love, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Chit Show Podcast, episode 34. We'll see you next time.